All right, so we welcome our speaker, Amy B., who will now share her experience for 20 minutes on step three. And Amy, you did say you were okay to be recorded. All right,
I
thank you.
thank you. Thank you, Lonnie, for your service today, and thank you for asking me to speak. My name is Amy B. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I am a chaos creator, controller fixer, codependent, not recovered, recovering, and very, very grateful for this Big Book Awakenings program, for the in-depth work on that. That is what I worked in the BBA. My primary addiction in the food was where I came into the 12-step rooms, into a food-specific fellowship, and got recovered, had a strong step one experience, was willing to surrender to a power greater than myself, that addiction and that powerlessness and that unmanageability. And in my fifth year of entire abstinence, I found myself at an emotional bottom, completely free of my substance, which was, I am so grateful for. That was the moment that another fellow from my primary fellowship told me about the Big Book Awakenings program for chaos creating, controlling, fixing, obsessing. And I dove into that work with enthusiasm and realized that my step one experience. I've heard all the times in the rooms, your credits don't transfer, or you can't stay clean on yesterday's shower. And my understanding of that, the way that God brought me an awareness of that complete new level of powerlessness, for which really became clear that that was the, in my opinion, from my experience from doing this work, maybe, and who's to know, the root of what drove me to that primary addiction in the first place. So, like, I worked the big rock, that huge boulder that was physically killing me. And I found the mountain that the boulder came from, fell off. I don't know. Anyway, a new step one experience that was profound. And I'm very grateful for the way the Big Book Awakenings takes a deep dive into that step one experience, spending a lot of time on each piece of it, because it had me begging for step two, that need to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. So there I am with this new rock solid recognition that I am powerless. My life's unmanageable, unmanageable. I cannot manage it. And I need to be managed. I need a power greater than myself, because I even recovered, even with the 12 steps, even with a love of my own personal conception of a higher power, personal to me, and a deep love of the steps and the rooms and service and fellowship, I more than ever came to the conclusion that I needed a power greater than myself. So there I am at step three. Step three, made a decision to turn, I'm going to personalize this, made a decision to turn, here, I want to get it exactly right, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God. God as I understand God made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God. It doesn't say made a decision to turn my will and my life over to God. And I'd heard that before. This is the care of God. And I am a word person. And I believe that is one of the ways that my conception of a power greater than myself, personal to me, I find inspiration in language and meaning. And maybe it's because it strips away the automatic response to some of these things when I hear them and just takes me back to the word, takes me back to the word. And I was like, okay, so turn my will in my life, and I'll get back to will in a second, but turn my will in my life over to the care of God as I understand God. Care means, and I looked this up, the provision of what is necessary for the maintenance of a thing, object, person, etc. It's the provision of what is necessary, what is needed. And see, that's my problem as an addict. I crave more than I need. I think I need more. So to understand that I'm making a decision to tell my will and my life over to the care of God, meaning that like I am recognizing that I have no idea what I need and how much and when. I have a skewed idea of need. I have a broken need-o-meter. My mother has this great saying, when one of us is talking to the other, and she's just as guilty of this. It's a sweet little thing. So for instance, I'll call her and I'll be like, I'm flirting with the idea of buying X, Y, and Z. It's not really, you know, I kind of want it. I've been looking at it for a while. I want to be either talked into it or talked out of it. I just want another opinion on it. And I'll be like, you know what? I don't really need it. And she says to me, babe, we are way past need. And that is what that made me think when I recognized that the care of God means that God, I am way past need. And I look at my life and I look at the gifts and I look at the gifts in the hardships. I look at the balance that is provided, the perspective. Oh my goodness, the fact that there was a person that I loved and trusted sitting across a table from me at a time when I was at my lowest, who pointed me towards this program, which just pointed me back towards realizing that I am way past need when it comes to God. I get what I need. I am way past need. My cup runneth over, even on my most challenging times, because I'm here, because I have this program, because I have fellows, because I have a power greater than myself, because I have an understanding that like I can't manage my life. And I forget it all the time because I can't stay clean on yesterday's shower, because my credits don't transfer, because no matter how many times I like look at this or go over this. And that's why I said like unrecovered chaos creator. Like, I don't know how to abstain from my internal drugstore. It's going to happen, but not but, and I have an understanding, an awareness, a vocabulary around this work and around the idea that like, of course, I'm having a hard time sometimes. I'm not qualified to manage this. I'm powerless. I'm powerless over something that's a part of me. I was looking at the questions that I did in this step study in Big Book Awakenings on step three, and also the personalization of the pages about the actor on the stage, 63 to, I'm sorry, I, oops. See, this is the, I love the digital that I can change things, but I have to, on 60 to 63, that bit, the personalization of that was incredible. That's one of the things, so many things about the Big Book Awakenings. One of them is this personal attachment to the words in the book, to the way that my powerlessness expresses itself. Also, as previously mentioned here today, the fact that there's all addictions in this Big Book Awakenings fellowship and in these meetings. So I get to hear different perspectives, and wisdom, experience, strength, and hope that I just didn't have exposure to previously. Anyway, the personalization around this, and one of the things that I found in it, the part about how I'm an example of self-will run riot. I looked up because words. I looked up riot when it came to the step three. I am an extreme example of self-will run riot. A riot is a violent disturbance of the peace. It's an outburst of uncontrolled feelings. It's an impressively large and varied display of something. That's one of the definitions of riot, an impressively large and varied display of something. I immediately think of when I really, really want, need something, when I am deep in fear, when I am like fully in the need to control, I will try any tactic in a row. Boom, boom, boom. I will, an impressively large and varied display of something that like read me for filth. And another definition of riot is to behave in a violent, unrestrained way. So my self will run riot. Unrestrained, violent, disturbing of the peace, an outburst of uncontrolled feelings, large and impressively varied display of self will running on my own power and not a higher power. And what that did to my life. And looking at that, so will, I was thinking, because I, step three is about turning our will in our life, and I was thinking about turning my will over, and I sort of thought like I that's a wish and a prayer, because I am learning that I don't have control over my will. I don't have control over losing my will. How many times do I do these things in my addictions against my will, where there's the inner voice that's screaming at me, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And I can't stop. That's against my will. That's my will run riot. That's I, it's so I got care, I got riot, and those things, those ideas, after this Big Book Awakenings process took me to the depths of step one, and the clarity that God is everything or God is nothing from step two. There I am, made a decision to turn the my will in my life over to the care of God as I understand God. I feel like the conclusions from step one and step two make the decision for me. It's just a question of understanding what that really means on a moment-to-moment basis, which is I have a tendency to riot.
5 minutes, Amy.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy, for your service. So, if I believe, if my higher power, who, so interesting, I look at the things that I wrote when I was in step three in this work, and without too much of a spoiler alert, the things that I learned in steps four and five and six and seven specifically. There was a reason why I was having trouble with this. There were things that were blocking me, but in terms of making a decision to do this, I needed that weight, the depth and weight of step one, the desperation around step two, and that understanding that I have what I need. I'm going to be okay. I need to do this work. What I need to get is going to be given to me. What I need to put out, my action is in this chapter and the one that comes after. It's in the action steps of this program. Made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God, and this work asked me at the end, after I've done the personalization of these pages and really understood what my self-will run riot does to me and does to my life, it says, am I willing to follow through on this decision with the actions required of me in steps four through nine? I know that this has shown me that I have a mental twist and I do not behave sanely. And I can see I have this moment of flashing clarity here that the real insanity would be not to do this work. After what I have realized by being here, I'm going to have what I need. I'm going to have what I need. I was brought here for a reason by powers that conspire for my greatest good. I have so much gratitude, feel so much blessing in the breakdown that led me to this because I needed it so badly to recognize that I am way past need. To recognize that I can riot and I need to turn my will over, which I have no control anyway, and my whole life, everything, the way that I feel, the way that I think, over to this God as I understand God, as I understand God. And, I think this book and this work and this fellowship has led me to a growing understanding that the God as I understand God might not be God as I know God. Because what I understand about God is loving and forgiving and about grace. And what I know of God has often been clouded by my own self-will run riot, which brings me to the place where I have to do this work. I have to do this work as I come to it, as I came to it the first time. And I have to do this work as I come to it every day, as I'm confronted by my powerlessness every day. I know I'm coming to the end of my time. I hope that I said something that was helpful. I'm incredibly grateful to this fellowship, to everyone here who is doing service by showing up. I cannot do this alone. And Thank you, Lonnie. Thank you, Amy, for your service. I pass.